When you're done hugging, you can be seated. Let's pray as we approach God's word. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God, you are an amazing God. Thank you for your grace that flows over us. May your Spirit shower us with knowledge and with wisdom and with encouragement, but also with challenge. As we approach your word this morning, may we learn more about who you have called us to be and what you have challenged us to do. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Have you ever been asked to watch over something by someone else? Maybe house sit or pet sit or hold on to something for someone for safekeeping. See, it's a totally different matter than what you do with your own things, right? If it's yours, you can do with it whatever you want. If it gets messed up, you have no one to blame but yourself, and it hurts no one but yourself. But when it's someone else's, it's altogether different. I remember shortly after we were married, Shannon and I were asked to house sit for a weekend. This was nice because still being in seminary, we were living in a small townhouse, and this house was much bigger and much nicer. It ended up going very well, just so there's no suspense. But you approach everything with a different attitude. When you go into the kitchen to make dinner, you handle the pots and pans and dishes more carefully. You clean up a little bit better than you do in your own house. You double check to make sure that everything is in place and everything is in order because of the responsibility that you feel. So often, when we come to church, in modern times especially, we think about what we are going to get, what we are going to receive. How is the service going to make me feel? What lesson am I going to learn? Who am I going to get to see? But God does not call us to a church, to be part of a church, for anything that we are entitled to or simply for those things that we may gain. He calls us to a church for what we may give for the work of the kingdom. He weaves together a body to do his work. We are called to be stewards. Yeah, that's our theme. We are called to be stewards of the church, those charged with carrying out the work until the master returns. There's a parable that speaks to this a little bit in Matthew 25, perhaps you're familiar with it, begins in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. See, the parable of the talents reminds us that God isn't interested really in how brilliant we are, but how faithful we are. He doesn't specifically need our talents. A talent here is coins. We're changing the meaning of the word a little bit. He doesn't need our talents. He can work any way he wants to do anything that he wants to. Any one of us is not inherently indispensable. However, he has chosen to use our faithfulness. Jesus said over in Luke, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and for him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. God has given us all talents, gifts, and abilities. Who we are inherently and who he is making us to be through the work of the Spirit in our lives, to use for the extension and the going forth of his kingdom. We may not be indispensable, I said a moment ago, but that does not mean that God does not desire to use us for the sake of his kingdom. Simply that if we don't, he will work another way. Our failures will not thwart the will of God, but how much better to be used by him for his purposes. There may be times that we do not feel worthy to be used by God. But let's be honest, we weren't worthy to be saved by him either, and he did that anyway. If we wait until we feel that we are worthy to do things for God, we'll never start. There may be times that we may not feel comfortable investing our talents in the life of the church. But Jesus didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to be faithful. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus could have pulled back from going to the cross for our sakes. He could have run away, yet he knew that there was no other way that we were going to be redeemed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed these words, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What a great thing. Yes, he prayed for something different, but he submitted to the will of God. And in that submission, God strengthened him, and in his agony, it drove him to prayer. Our faith rests on the foundation of his faithfulness in carrying out the Father's will. When you look at his church, the universal Catholic little c, one we pray about and proclaim in the Apostles' Creed, which has existed through time and geography since he returned to heaven, what a legacy, what a heritage that he has left us. He has been our help in ages past, and he is our hope in times to come. If we are going to follow Christ, then we must follow his example too. He has given us talents to use for the extension of his kingdom. None of us are too old to be used by God. Moses was 80 when he was called to lead the people out of Egypt. None of us are too young to respond to the call of God. Samuel was a young child when God called him to serve as a prophet. As I think of ministry and as I think of church, I shared with you when I first came 4.5 years ago that my philosophy and my approach to ministry is based on Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The more important verse of those two than 11 is 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Ministry and subsequently church itself is not the exclusive domain or even the especial responsibility of professional clergy. I love what I do. I love my calling. I love diving into and teaching the word. But the church is about the body of Christ that God brings together. It is for all those who are called to be a part of the church, to do the work of ministry. For us here and now, this concept is more important than ever. We all have an important role to play in a functioning and healthy church. Over at the house, we have a new clock at home that I got Shannon for Christmas, and I love to watch it work. The parts move, and the numbers spin, and it plays music, and I know it's a modern design, and it probably works on electronics inside. I know it works on electronics inside of it, but it makes me think of the old clocks. Old-fashioned clockwork where all the parts have to fit together in order for the clock to fulfill its functions. If one of the small cogs, which spin to allow the clock hands to rotate and allows it to keep time, decides that it's not going to turn up and work today, the clock stops. If the church is like a clock, we need everyone in the church working together to fulfill the calling that the church has been given. You may not be the servant with 5 talents. You may not be the servant with 2 talents, but you at very least are the servant with 1 talent. Every believer has been gifted by God, has at least 1 spiritual gift, in addition to simply who God has made you to be, the abilities, the personality that you have. You need to use that 1 talent. You catch, even if the servant had just put it in the bank and earned, what, savings accounts now, 0.25% interest? He hid the talent. He hid what had been entrusted to him. To stay with the clock analogy, you might not be the hands or the face, but if God has called you to be a cog, if you don't fulfill what God has called you to do, however insignificant it may seem, the church, like the clock, will grind to a halt. And let's face it, there are times that you may feel insignificant. God calls us a body, and there's some glorious parts, and there's some less glorious parts of the body. And I know I've told this story on an individual basis before. When I was on the ship as a chaplain, one of my responsibilities was evening prayers. So at 21:55, 9:55 p.m., everything stopped, and the chaplain gets to get on the 1MC, the mic that goes all over the ship, and say some inspirational or devotional words or offer a prayer. I had been spending the day down in the engine room that day visiting the engineers and realizing that they kind of felt slighted sometimes. They didn't get outside much. They didn't feel that they got recognized. And I was thinking about Paul's analogy of the body and that there are some smelly parts of the body, right? So I get on the 1MC and I open the prayer and I go, "Have you ever wanted to be an armpit?" I'm like, "What?" You know, that came to me later. What? The hands, the feet, the face, the head, they get the glory. But if I didn't have an armpit, I couldn't move the arm. There is no unimportant part or person in the body of Christ. Period. End of discussion. You may feel that you are only a small cog in the church, but God uses those small cogs too to work his will. Whoever you are, God has a role for you to play in his church. We just have to find out what God has called us to do. Seek the role that he calls us to fill and be faithful to fill it. All of us have talents that God can use. The point of the parable in Matthew, at least in part, is this. We have to use our talents to fulfill the mission of the church to the glory and honor of the Master. The parable is a reminder that God calls each one of us to ministry. And you will have to give an account one day of what God has gifted you to do. The more you exercise your talents, the more the blessing will be. Church is not a spectator sport. All of God's people have a role in carrying out the work of his kingdom. We are all stewards of God's church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are a loving and kind master. But Lord, let us never forget that you are the master and we are the servants. We have been charged with a task to do the work of ministry. Not because you inherently need us to, but because you desire and you have declared that that is the way that you will work in your world. That is the way your kingdom will go forth. Lord, may we each seek and even more find our place. May we love one another. May the parts fit together as you design and desire, Lord. That your love would flow between us, that your grace would be known, and that your word would go forth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In response, I invite you to stand as we join together in a couple praise songs. We are the body, and take my life.